Now that most adult male hummingbirds are gone, we're left mostly with adult females and young of both sexes. And the only ruby-throats with brilliant red throats still remaining are stragglers. But it'll be tricky to notice exactly when the adult females disappear. Young males as well as females have white on the outer tips of their tails and lack red throats. A handful of brilliant, iridescent, gorget feathers may have already grown in on some young males, but older adult females may have a few ruby feathers on their throats, too. Young birds have tiny little marks called corrugations on the bill, lost as the bill reaches full size and hardens, but this is extremely difficult to see except by bird banders holding the bird in their hand, and these have already been lost by some of the first hatched birds this year. Every now and then an outlier hummingbird turns up. In Minnesota and Wisconsin, the most likely vagrant is the rufous hummingbird. But both states have had isolated cases where an Anna's hummingbird and a Mexican violet ear were found. Wisconsin has had at least one green-breasted mango and one broad-billed and one buff-bellied hummingbird show up, while Costas and Calliope hummingbirds have been seen in Minnesota. Because the ruby throat really is the only hummingbird that nests in the Midwest, it's easy to assume that every hummingbird at our feeders is a ruby throat. And that's a fair assumption. Chances are that every time you carefully scrutinize every single hummingbird in your yard, you're only going to come up with ruby throats. But the only absolute guarantee is that if you never scrutinize every single hummingbird, you're never going to see a rare one. The one year that I left my hummingbird feeders out until November, a rufous hummingbird actually did show up and spent 2 weeks in my yard before heading on. Many people notice in midsummer that hummingbird numbers dwindle in much of our area as natural food is at its most abundant and nesting females focus on tiny insects to feed their growing young. Now that migration is in full swing, feeders are getting plenty of action again. But now that summer's end is near, people are growing a bit more lackadaisical about hummingbird feeder maintenance. It's important to keep the water fresh. Changing it and giving the feeder a thorough rinsing every 2 or 3 days is ideal. It can be good to change it even more often during hot weather when sugar water ferments quite quickly. An excellent rule is to use 1 cup of sugar to 4 cups of water. That's about the average concentration of flower nectar. But natural flowers do vary from about a 1-to-5 ratio up to about a 1-to-3 ratio. If you're mindful and keeping track of weather conditions, upping your sugar water strength to 1 cup of sugar to 3 cups of water is a good thing during cool or rainy conditions, especially when birds need a boost as natural food sources dwindle. Virtually every hummingbird will be gone from up here by the second week of September or so. Individuals never, ever linger simply because a feeder is there. Their urge to migrate is far, far stronger than the appeal of even the Midwest's finest feeding stations. When a ruby throat does stick around late, it's virtually always just a young bird from a late hatching still getting its body in shape. As we start experiencing killing frosts and sources of natural nectar disappear for the year, our feeders really can help these birds stay alive. I've a couple of times had young ruby throats show up as late as October. But if you do leave the feeders out there just in case of a straggler, make sure you keep changing the sugar water. And check those stragglers, because by October the probability rises that a hummingbird up here belongs to one of those outlier species. Autumn hummingbird watching is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get, but it's certain to be sweet. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.